Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 15th of March. I'm Beth.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Sue.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. And this week we welcome the following new members, Terence Taylor and Derek Smith. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listener who has kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. She is Joan Simmons. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
Burglars raided two British Heart Foundation charity shops in the Black Country within a day of each other, taking cash from safes and causing thousands of pounds of damage. The West Bromwich and Dudley British Heart Foundation, BHF, branches were targeted in break-ins, which saw the safes broken into, security equipment wrecked and a ceiling ripped down. BHF's area manager, Julie Taylor, said the cost of two burglaries in stolen cash and damage would total thousands of pounds. Money that could have been used by the charity to fund life-saving research into fighting heart disease. At both shops, the culprits went straight for the safes, making off with undisclosed amounts of cash. They caused extensive damage to both premises, even dismantling part of the ceiling to get access to wires in the West Bromwich branch. The charity is helping police to investigate the burglaries and are reviewing the current security measures. Ms. Taylor said the recent break-ins at two of our stores has been really disheartening for us. It has caused a huge amount of damage to the stores, which will cost thousands of pounds to repair, taking money away from the BHF's vital work. It was also a really upsetting situation for all the staff and volunteers who worked really hard in the fight for every heartbeat. Slowly but surely, we hope the stores can get back to normal and bounce back from the events. West Midlands Police confirmed that investigations have been launched into both burglaries, but no arrests have been made yet.
A drug dealer was caught red-handed when he visited a police station for help because he had missed his last train home. The hapless 17-year-old decided to visit a police station for advice when he found himself stranded and unable to get back to Wolverhampton. But police became suspicious of his behaviour and ordered him to turn out his pockets. The search produced around 1,500 pounds of crack cocaine and heroin, and the teenager ended up in the station cells. The naivety of the teenager's behaviour was described in court as breathtaking. The boy, who cannot be named for legal reasons, appeared at Shrewsbury Crown Court, where he admitted two charges of possessing drugs with intent to supply. The court heard the discovery of the drugs happened in October last year when the teenager travelled from his home in the West Midlands into Shropshire. Hugh O'Brien Quinn, prosecuting, said the defendant had travelled to Gaboyne from Wolverhampton. He told the court that the man he had been expected to meet had not turned up and he had tried to get home. He said he had travelled by train on October the 18th last year and at about 11:30 p.m. went into Oswestry Police Station. He was explained to officers he missed the last train and he needed to get back to Wolverhampton. When checks were done on him, police became aware he had previous dealings with drugs. He was then asked if he had any drugs on him, and he produced four small wraps of cocaine from his jacket pocket. The teenager was arrested, and police decided to search a bag he was carrying. They found 84 wraps of crack cocaine and 95 wraps of heroin. Judge Jim Tindall sentenced the 17-year-old to 8 months in custody.
A year-long roadworks scheme to improve a busy Black Country route is set to get underway within weeks. Pensnet High Street in Dudley will be widened and pedestrian crossings installed as part of the £5 million scheme aimed at cutting congestion. The project is set to cause major disruption on the road, which is used by 30,000 vehicles a day. But highways bosses said once complete, the changes would hugely benefit drivers and pedestrians. Council chiefs said work was expected to start during April or May and that traffic management during the scheme was still being finalised. The road is a vital artery of the Black Country and carries a huge volume of traffic, serving the Pensnet trading estate, the largest secured trading estate in Europe, as well as vehicles from Russell's Hall Hospital. The scheme will see the road widened into two lanes in both directions and new traffic lights will be installed around the site. It is hoped that the improvements will also aid bus journeys and make services often delayed by traffic more reliable. Some businesses and residents have been relocated to allow the work to take place after a compulsory purchase order on land was signed off by the Transport Secretary. Pensnet Councillor John Martin said work to improve High Street was long overdue. He said High Street carries a huge amount of traffic with the Pensnet Trading Estate and Russell's Hall and there are long delays. It is very difficult for pedestrians to negotiate the crossing over High Street and Pensnet Road. Pedestrians often have to take their life in their hands to cross the road. It should calm things down and make it safer for pedestrians and road users as well.
The husband of a grandmother who was left with just half a head after being hit by a bus has slammed the driver's appalling £175 fine. Deborah Davis, 56, was left in a critical condition and suffered severe brain damage after the crash. She survived, but life-saving surgery for a bleed on her brain left her without half of her skull before it was replaced with a metal plate. Driver Surjit Singh Pal, 57, lost control of his vehicle and mounted the pavement in Sturbridge last year, crashing into Mrs. Davis from behind and sending her flying into a gutter. Her husband, Mr. Davis, 58, claims the bus driver has ruined their lives. However, Singh Pal, who is understood to have driven into the pavement when approaching a bend, received only £175 fine and a six-month driving ban from Birmingham Magistrates Court. He must also reapply for his licence from the DVLA. Even though causing death by dangerous driving carries a maximum penalty of 5 years, there is no law that covers the offence of causing serious injury by dangerous driving. Retired engineer Mr. Davis last night lashed out at the sentence and said, "It's appalling. It's no punishment at all. He has ruined our lives and he gets to walk free. If he had killed her, he would have had a more severe punishment. But then I would have lost my wife. It's a lose-lose situation." My son said if he were to collect 3 speeding tickets, he would be more severely punished than the driver. Mr. Davis, 58, witnessed the accident along with one of their 5 grandchildren. They were on their way to complete a purchase on a dream home so they could move closer to their daughter and grandchildren when the bus struck. She sustained severe brain damage, which led to a clot on the brain. She required life-saving surgery with extensive rehabilitation. She also suffered a broken neck, fractured cheek, broken ribs, and a punctured lung in the collision. Mrs. Davis returned home on October 2016 to await a craniotomy to replace part of her missing skull with a metal plate.
Persistent beggars have been banned from entering Wolverhampton city centre by a judge as a last resort. The City of Wolverhampton Council successfully applied for the civil injunction at the city's county court. Granting the 2-year injunction, District Judge Paul Watson described the measure as a last resort after hearing that the City Council and support agencies had exhausted all other avenues trying to stop their antisocial behaviour. The order was made this morning against Carl de Baines, 44, of Sedgley, Zoe Harvey Nixon, 40, address unknown, Craig Wall, 35, address unknown, Charlie Jenks, 30, of Bilston, Donna Abraham, 39, of Dudley, Sam Wallibank, 35, of Walsall, and Kieran Machelski, 39, address unknown. The order bans the seven from entering the city centre except for between the hours of noon and 2 p.m. each day to enable them to access services. They are also banned from begging or putting themselves in a position where someone might reasonably perceive they intend to beg anywhere within the boundary of the city. Breaching the order could result in a custodial sentence for contempt of court. All the individuals concerned have continued to beg despite being handed a written warning and offered extensive support by agencies in the city, including the offer of accommodation and access to benefits. Some have continued to beg despite receiving accommodation, while others have refused all offers of support. City Centre businesses and the Wolverhampton Business Improvement District worked closely with the City Council and West Midlands Police to tackle the problem. Businesses were concerned that the beggars were intimidating their customers, being threatening and abusive to staff in shops and licensed premises, and causing general nuisance behaviour.
Girls should not read books by men until they are adults, according to feminist writer Caitlin Moran, who grew up in Wolverhampton. Caitlin, who wrote the TV comedy and drama series Raised by Wolves, which was inspired by her upbringing, believes young women will feel insecure if they do read them. The 41-year-old penned her thoughts in an article for book publisher Penguin. She said, "If I had one piece of advice for young girls and women, it would be this. Girls, don't read any books by men. Don't read them. Stay away from them. Or at least, don't read them until you're older and fully formed and battle-ready and are able to counter someone being rude to you in conversation, not with silent embarrassment or internalised mute fury." Caitlin, who grew up in a three-bedroom council house in Wolverhampton with her siblings and parents, is a widely celebrated feminist author and columnist. She was home-tutored after the age of 11 and began her career as a journalist aged 16. In her article, Caitlin says the men in books published by male authors Faulkner, Chandler, Hemingway and Roth are brilliant and clever. "As both a writer and a reader, I bow down to them," she said. "But as a woman, what I noticed straight away was how unwelcome these books made me feel. How uncomfortable. As someone reading a book with my heart open, waiting to find out how the author would see me, talk to me, evaluate me, as a girl who might be in these books, as I was in the others I read, my heart was broken in the first few pages."
Sparks flew as a gang targeting in-shop cash points used an angle grinder to slice through the shutters at a post office. But just minutes after the raid was caught on camera, all four were arrested by police. All four admitted conspiracy to commit burglary and were jailed at Birmingham Crown Court. The CCTV footage shows Simon Phillips using a circular saw to attack metal security screens at Wollaston Post Office in the early hours of the 1st of September 2016, before Terry McMahon smashed open the front door with a sledgehammer. Along with fellow gang members Adrian Peach and Dennis Carr, they rushed the store and used a large crowbar in a botched attempt to force open an ATM. At one stage, the shop manager bravely confronted the men before they fled empty-handed when they realised the police were on the way. The men sped away in an Audi, stolen from an address in Bromsgrove in June, but were soon spotted by officers responding to the 999 call. The getaway car was abandoned in Clent Way, Bartley Green, where Phillips, 38, and 33-year-old McMahon were found by officers lying low in a hedgerow. Peach, 29, and 38-year-old Carr were spotted ducking into the foyer of a block of flats and were later arrested nearby. An angle grinder was recovered from the Audi, and clothing used during the raid found discarded in the flat's communal entrance. All four admitted conspiracy to commit burglary, with Phillips from Beckley Road in Wheely Castle and Peach from Kittywood Avenue, Tamworth, also admitted another shop attack at Snappy Tomato Pizza in Chelmsley Wood on the 18th of June. They were jailed for 8 years each, while McMahon from Rudyard Grove, Kits Green, and Carr from Prince's End Drive in Rubury were handed sentences of 6 years.
Cash withdrawals by a registered blind man in his 90s soared more than threefold after Veronica Robinson started taking him to the bank, a jury heard. He had previously managed on £1,000 a month, but when the 61-year-old began writing cheques for him to sign, this increased to £6,000 on occasions and £8,500 during one six-week period, Wolverhampton Crown Court was told. In the 19 months between September 2013, when Robinson started at his black country home as an £8.50 an hour cleaner, and her arrest in March 2015, a total of £67,400 was taken in cash from his bank accounts, revealed Mr. Mark Jackson prosecuting. He asked Robinson, "What was it that was costing him tens of thousands of pounds?" She replied, "I can't answer that question." The son and stepson of the man came to visit him throughout April 2015. There was £2,400 cash in his house that remained untouched until they had both returned to their homes overseas at the end of the month, the court was told. Robinson then resumed control of his care and on May the 13th took him to the bank. Mr. Jackson observed, "During the month you are not around, the £2,400 is not spent, but 2 weeks later, after you started caring for him, he needs more money." She responded, "I was following his wishes." By December 2013, mother of two, Robinson, had about £600 a month child tax credit paid into an account at a bank in Australia, where she had previously lived, which she withdrew from cash machines in this country, the jury heard. This was her only known source of income, other than money earned from cleaning and ironing. Between October 2012 and the following August, she had spent £49,000, leaving just £4,800 in a Halifax account, said Mr. Jackson, who continued, "All your other accounts were depleted." Despite this, she paid the £695 a month rent on her High Hayden Road, Cradley Heath home in cash for a year until December 2014. She also used cash on other occasions, including a £350 solicitor's bill and the cost of a train trip to London and a meal for two at a five-star hotel in the capital. In addition, two forensic accountants were unable to explain the source of £3,393 that had been deposited in another of her bank accounts. Money from the man's savings bought a £188,000 house in Beecher Street, Cradley Heath, for her in January 2015. This was paid to her by cheque. She said, "He didn't need to buy me a house. He wanted to. He was insistent on that. It didn't matter what I said." Robinson of High Hayden Road, Cradley Heath, denies fraud by abusive position and attempting to pervert the course of justice. Her friend, 66-year-old Robert Homer, pleads not guilty to aiding and abetting the fraud and false representation. The case continues.
Hundreds of people across the West Midlands and Staffordshire are being admitted to hospital every year due to drug abuse, new NHS figures have revealed. The worrying statistics show that in some areas, health workers are dealing with dozens of extra patients with drug problems compared to the previous 12 months. Sandwell had the highest number of cases in the Black Country last year, with 107, rising from 80 and 83 in the two previous years. Health chiefs said they were committed to tackling the issue. Wolverhampton represented the area of the West Midlands with the highest proportion of its population admitted to hospital with drug poisoning, 36 people per 100,000 of population. The number of cases in the city jumped from 58 in 2013-14 to 91 in the year after and 92 in 2015-16. A Wolverhampton Council spokesman said, "Support in Wolverhampton is primarily offered through the city's Drug and Alcohol Misuse Service, Recovery Near You, which provides free and confidential advice and treatment to adults and young people." In Dudley, there were 100 admissions last year, increasing from 83 in 2014-15 and 2013-14. Walsall compares more favourably with a ratio of 24 admissions per 100,000 people. In the last 3 years, cases rose from 50 in 2013-14 to 84 in 14-15, but fell to 63 in 15-16. In Staffordshire in 2015-16, there were 201 drug abuse cases, broadly the same number as the 208 patients in 2014-15, but a significant increase on the 172 people in 2013-14. Earlier this year, Staffordshire County Council confirmed cuts of nearly £4 million to drug and alcohol support services.
More than 100 years on, it is a tragedy that still inspires worldwide interest, the sinking of the unsinkable Titanic. Yet, not many may realise that the fateful ship's connection to the Black Country, explored in a new exhibition at the Dudley Archives. Thanks to the generosity of keen Titanic researcher and writer Andrew Lowndes from Great Barr, his collection of everything from a lifeboat nameplate to the White Star Line's drinks menu, a layout of the first class accommodation to a piece of Titanic's hull, are on display at the Tipton Road venue. The exhibition also includes photographs of the Titanic's 15.5-ton anchor, which was made by Noah Hingley and Sons in Netherton and was drawn through the streets by 20 horses in May 1911. Andrew has sought out the region's connections to the infamous liner, which was run by the White Star Line, and will be at Dudley Archives later on March the 25th to sign copies of his new books, Titanic in the Midlands. Delighted with the exhibition is archivist Richard Lewis, who said, "A lot of these items were in Boston, but Andrew Lowndes has bought them and had them sent back from America. There is a connection with the Midlands. A lot of the metalwork was done here, including the anchor. The impressive array of artefacts have arrived amid an important time for Dudley Archives, which is becoming the place to see items previously displayed at Dudley Museum, which closed in December. One of the centrepieces of the exhibition is an ornate wooden panel recovered from the sea on April the 15th, 1912, the morning after the fatal iceberg strike, by the crew of the Irish fishing boat Poinsett Norrin. The collection also includes china plates and platters from the White Star Line, showing the distinction made between first and second class. These include replica dinnerware that was made especially for the blockbuster film Titanic. All of this is available to see at the Dudley Archives for the next 3 months."
Up to 100 tonnes of processed commercial waste has been dumped on a farm by fly-tippers. The owners of Hill End Farm in Claverley near Bridgnorth were shocked to find the mountains of waste blocking the pathway to their sheds when they came to feed their sheep. Shredded paper, cardboard and possibly even medical rubbish had been partly processed and shredded before being left on the private land, an amount which is likely to cost thousands of pounds to remove. The fly-tippers broke a lock to gain access to the land before leaving the waste behind. Andrew Nichols, who owns the farm, said, "The Environmental Agency think there's 80 to 100 tonnes of shredded refuse. They reckon there's been 3 or 4 lorries to drop this off, or one that's kept coming back. My son was driving by at around 9 a.m. and did a double take. He couldn't believe it. They dumped the rubbish, closed the gate, put a cable tie around it and left. If you'd have driven by quickly, you wouldn't have noticed anything different, and the neighbours around the site didn't hear anything. You can't believe it. In this day and age, you're rarely surprised by things. We get burnt out cars and all sorts, but I can't believe this. I know everybody thinks farmers drive around in Range Rovers and don't do anything, but we're on a very tight budget. We can't afford something like this. What's most perplexing is that we can't get to the animals. This has meant we need to carry bags over the fence to feed them, but now we can't move them without moving fences and knocking holes in hedges. Because it's private land, Mr. Nichols will now have to get a quote for the waste removal and pay for it himself."
A police officer faces losing his job after admitting harassing his ex-girlfriend following their breakup. Dean Hickens pretended to be a former partner of his ex via text message in order to check whether she had had an affair while they were still together, a court was told. He also tried to change her Facebook login details and drove past her house in the early hours to see if there was someone else there. Hickens, aged 42, of Dingle Close in Dudley, pleaded guilty to harassment without violence at Wolverhampton Magistrates Court. Mr. Tim Talbot Webb, prosecuting, told the court this was a relationship of 5 years and the couple had been living together. She left the home they had shared and it wasn't a happy breakup. Mr. Hickens went about a course of action that amounted to harassment, including driving past her home in the early hours of the morning, specifically to see if someone else was there. He also sent her text messages claiming to be a previous partner of hers, and she suspected straight away that it was Mr. Hickens who was sending the texts. He then attempted to access her Facebook account to try and find messages to prove she was having an affair while they were still together, he said. Mrs. Sue Swan, defending, said Hickens had helped police with their inquiries and was now on medication for depression and anxiety. She said he has pleaded guilty at the first opportunity and accepts what he has done does add up to harassment. He believed that she had had an affair when they were together, but accepts his actions were not the right way to find that out. He knows that he will lose his job. The consequences of this will be devastating for him. Hickens was sentenced to a 12-month community order, including 20 days of rehabilitation activity, and was given an 8-week curfew between 8:30pm and 7am. Chief Magistrate Paul Cluley also ordered Hickens to pay £135 in legal costs, an £85 victim surcharge and £250 in compensation. He was also given a 2-year restraining order. Chief Inspector Warren Little from West Midlands Police Professional Standards Department said, following his conviction, PC Dean Hickens will continue to remain in a post away from any frontline policing duties and is due to face internal disciplinary proceedings. PC Hickens' future with the force will now be considered.
A major £9 million revamp of Dudley Bus Station, which will see it linked to the Midland Metro, is expected within 5 years. Work to improve the town's outdated base has been in the pipeline since 2014, but the project was put on hold last year. Dudley Council's regeneration boss has now said that work could start before 2022. Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, Cabinet Member for Planning and Economic Regeneration at Dudley Council, said the delay was down to the project becoming much bigger after it was tied in with the metro. The metro is due to be extended through the town and stop at the bus station, creating more direct links to the wider Black Country. The project is a joint operation between Dudley Council, the Midland Metro Alliance, MMA, and Network West Midlands. Councillor Ahmed said the plans were in the very early stages. MMA, which is working on behalf of the West Midlands Combined Authority, expects works on the tram route to begin in 2019 and to be open for passengers by 2023. Councillor Ahmed said, there are clear plans which are absolutely great for Dudley. I expect the terminal to be built much quicker than 2022. The tram will travel up Castle Hill, go along Castle Hill and will come through Dudley Bus Station. The people of Dudley have been deprived for too long and it is not acceptable. It will be a great hub of transport and will transform the area. The opportunities are huge. The terminal will be comprised of a redeveloped bus station, which will alone cost £6,830,000, and plans are being made to improve access for buses at the station by making entrance and exit points easier. The tram stop will be part of the new Midland Metro line, which will be built between Briley Hill and Wensbury. The metro line will run for 7 miles along the old South Staffordshire railway line. A tram service will travel between Wednesbury via Great Bridge, Dudley Port, Dudley Town Centre, at the new terminal and the waterfront and Merrihill, before terminating in Brierley Town Centre.
Rachel Hayhoe Flint was a proud Roofonian who passionately championed the city's football club and changed the face of women's cricket. Now it has been announced that the International Cricket Council is to name an award for the leading woman cricketer after Rachel Hayhoe Flint. It means the former England cricket captain, who died in January, aged 77, will be forever associated with leading female cricket players. Baroness Hayhoe Flint played a pivotal role in developing cricket in the England 1973 World Cup, captaining her country to victory. She also led her country in the first women's game at Lord's in 1976. In total, she played 22 tests and 23 one-day internationals. She was the first woman to be inducted in the ICC Hall of Fame. Thousands turned out to remember her at a service at St Peter's Church in Wolverhampton in February, the month after she died. Councillor Roger Lawrence, leader of Wolverhampton Council, said he welcomed the decision to honour one of the city's best-loved figures. He said, "I think this is fantastic news and a really excellent gesture from the ICC. We in Wolverhampton will look forward to the first award in her honour being given out."
It has been alleged that two Walsall care workers went topless at their desks to take part in online sex chats. The women employed at Caremark bared their chests in front of a camera while sitting in their office at the Enterprise Hub in Green Lane, according to an undercover investigation by a national newspaper. Footage featured by the newspaper showed a topless employee moving the camera to give a view of the room, where a colleague stood up to show herself while others waved. The two employees also appeared on an adult website for money, the paper said. Caremark, which provides home help services across the UK and has another base at Planetary Road in Wensfield, Wolverhampton, confirmed both had now been suspended. While Health and Social Care Watchdog, the Care Quality Commission, CQC, declared its inspectors would also investigate. Caremark Chief Executive Keith Lewis expressed shock at the allegations and said two internal investigations are underway. He said the care of clients was not at risk, as the incident appeared to have taken place in an office, although the Caremark website indicates that the families of those being cared for do sometimes visit the business premises. In a statement, Mr. Lewis said, "We are shocked at the alleged actions of two members of staff employed by the Wolverhampton franchisee. I have spoken to the owner to understand what has happened and what actions have been taken. At no time was the care of clients put at risk, as the services provided by Caremark are delivered at the client's home. This incident appears to have taken place in an administrative office, but at this time a full investigation is being carried out to determine exactly what has happened. Obviously, we cannot discuss the details of the incident until our investigation has been completed. We will work fully with the Care Quality Commission regarding this incident." And with that final news item, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And it's goodbye from Sue. Goodbye, everybody.